Let's open with prayer. Father, we do thank you for all things, and we thank you that you have saved us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, and your loving kindness that never fails and never ends. And this morning, as we want to look at a psalm that gives you thanks, it's such a fitting thing for us all to remember to give you thanks. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Psalm 21 today, and last week we had the couplet to this was Psalm 20. Psalm 20 was the prayer for the king before the battle. Today it's the prayer with the king in thanksgiving for the victory. And it kind of seems as you look at these two psalms, they're both so glorious. However, the intensity of seeking the Lord before the battle, I think, usually is much greater than it is in giving him thanksgiving. You know, when we're desperate, man, we cry out with really intensity. We pray like we mean it, right? And when we're thanking the Lord, it's kind of like, thank you, Lord, and then kind of go on to the next thing, right? It's not like, it's not quite as intense. But I don't know that the Lord says, you got to thank me intensely. He just likes it and hears it when we thank him, right? Remember the lepers. There were 10 lepers healed, and only one gave thanks. And so Jesus said, here's the one who gives thanks, where are the other nine? And so he hears our thanksgiving, so we want to remember to give him thanks. So I thought today, since the title of this psalm basically is Joy in the Salvation of the Lord, and although there was a victory over the world enemies here in the context, the big victory is victory over death. The big victory is salvation, right? So this is the joy in the salvation of the Lord. So I thought we'd just sing this a cappella, this little praise song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. So the words are on the first page. I know you know it, but let's go through this twice, and then we'll get on into the psalm. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Again, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Well, last week in Psalm 20, we closed with the psalmist saying, for the king trusting in the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, save Yahweh. May the king answer us when we call. And that's the capital K there. May our Lord answer us when we call. And so now we have the battle has occurred. He went into that battle with great courage, and partially because of the exhortation and the support through their prayers. Now we have the victory here after the battle, but we notice it focuses, it includes the world, it includes the enemies of God, and there's some pretty harsh verses in here that God's wrath will come against them because he's a just God. But there's also an emphasis here on trusting in the Lord and on his salvation and the gift of his salvation. So we begin verse 1, the king, and this is small king. This is, could say King David is probably, this is a psalm of David, so he's probably who the Spirit wrote this through. And this is really about him at the time he was the king of Israel, I believe. But the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord. Now, we sing all the time the Hosea verse, joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And that's true. But notice here, it's, I believe, the joy in his strength. It's not the joy in my strength in the Lord, it's the joy in His strength, because this is like that. This is, the king shall have joy in your strength. So we joy in His strength, right? I'm really weak, even with Him, I'm really, really weak. And I rejoice in what strength He gives me, but it's His strength I really joy in, because no matter what happens, His strength is never failing, right? Mine will fail up and down and in and out, and strong one day and weak the next day, but His does not fail. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. Where does the salvation come from? From me? No, it's all from Him. It's His salvation, and in your salvation, and then how greatly shall the little king rejoice? How greatly should we rejoice? We should rejoice in His salvation and in His strength. He goes on, you have given him, the little king, his heart's desire. Have you ever thought and thanked the Lord for giving you what He desires for you, and also even answering your prayers for what you desire, as long as it's in line with what He wants? You have given him his heart's desire and not withheld the request of his lips. When you cried out to the Lord, save me, did He say, I'm sorry, you don't quite measure up, you know. You better come back after you get your act cleaned up a little bit, you know, because you're kind of a mess. No. When we come to Him, He would never withhold that request from His lips. Have not withheld the request of His lips. And that could also have been for their prayers. He doesn't withhold our prayers that come to Him. Verse 3, for you, capital Y, you meet Him, you meet the little king, the big king meets the little king, with the blessings of goodness. And everything, every time we have a little king in here, that would apply to us too, because we're little kings and we're little priests, right? That's what the church is. That's what the believers are. So we have here then that the Lord meets us with blessings of goodness. And because of this victory in the battle, David would have received, in effect, a crown of pure gold upon his head because of conquering his foe, the king of the foe, and taking his crown, because the winner gets the spoil, so to speak. But also here we have the real pure gold of crown is his salvation, isn't it? Isn't that the real crown that we have? Not the crown of our enemies. I mean, they come and they go. But his salvation, it would be our crown, I would think. You have set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Now, that applies to every single believer. As we ask life from him, he gave it to us because of his love for us and the price that he paid, being blood bought. Length of days, how long are you going to be around? Forever and ever. Not in these bodies, thank God. But because of what he's done for us, our life is length of days, forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Again, salvation mentioned here. God's glory is great in his salvation. My glory is great in his salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, upon the little king, because of what the big king has done. For you have made big king, made the little king most blessed forever. You're blessed forever because of what he has done and is doing in your life, not because of what you're doing, right? We sometimes get that all mixed up. Oh, Lord, look at all the great things I'm doing. And then we read, it's filthy rags, stuff, right? You have made him most blessed forever. You have made him what? Exceedingly glad with your presence. How glad are you with the presence of the Lord in your life? You know, when you see somebody who's really down, sometimes you're tempted to say, think about the Lord, be exceedingly glad. And that's a little harsh. Probably not really accepted. You need more compassion than that. But we do want to be exceedingly glad in his presence, don't we? Because think of it, if you didn't have the presence of the Lord. What a miserable bummer that is and was before we were walking with the Lord. You've made him exceedingly glad with your presence. And now the kind of the key verse in the whole Psalm, verse 7, first line, for the king, little king, trusts in the Lord. In whom do you trust? Vaccine? Facial masks? Quarantine centers? Or whatever. We need to trust in the Lord. Been reading some of the missionary prayer requests. Some really great statements that come out, you know. For example, one missionary said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Amen. Isn't that right for us? I don't know what today holds, but I know who holds the day, right? For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Again, that's a little H on the he shall not be moved. Because of our little king trusting in the Lord, through the mercy of the big king, the Most High, the little king shall not be moved. That's our strength. His, not ours. Now he's going to talk about, because these promises are all true and salvation, remember now David has been promised that through his seed the Messiah would come and that the throne would never depart from his seed, from the Messiah who will come. At this point from David, who has already come the first time, who is coming the second time, and his second coming is when he will take the reign of the earth on his shoulders forevermore. He's not reigning on the earth yet. He's reigning in heaven and in his kingdom. He is the king of his kingdom, but we pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, don't we? Or we pray, Lord, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Same prayer, really. So here we see now, because of these promises and what's going to happen, now we start to see the justice and the judgment of the Lord. And God has that side to him, doesn't he? He's a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a gracious God. He's a patient God. But he's also a just God. That's why the sin in your life or the nation's life has to be judged. In our lives as believers, Jesus has already paid the price. But those who don't have the belief in God, that price has to be paid. So here we read in verse 8, your hand will find all your enemies. That's the big king. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You know, when we hear these people speaking such blasphemy against God, I mean, sometimes you just think, stop him, you know, right in the middle of his sentence, just shut his mouth. And he keeps on talking, or she keeps on talking, right? And you go, how long, Lord? Well, his right hand will find those who hate him. Everyone that is in that category, or what any category, we're writing our own testimony, aren't we? We're writing our testimony for Judgment Day. And it won't be we'll get there and say, I never said that. No, if you've said it, you'll know it. Good or bad. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. How many of you want to be in the Lord's fiery oven? I don't think so. How many of you want to be swallowed up in his wrath? How many of you, the fire shall devour them? The offspring you shall destroy from the earth, their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. Boy, we see a lot of that, don't we? People intending evil. And they devise a plot which they are not able to perform. Now, that's just really pretty much a quote from Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and plot a vain thing? You know, the kings of the earth set themselves together to come against the Lord. And what? He holds them in derision. He laughs at them. But here it says they devise a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you, big king, will make them turn their back. You will make ready your big king arrows on your big king string toward their faces. So here's the picture. The Lord has got his arrows aimed on his string against their faces. I don't think any of those are the places where any of us would ever want to be, or anybody would ever want to be, but that's the reality of those who turn their back on God and who are blaspheming him all their life and say, I don't want any part of you. I don't believe in you. I don't want to believe in you, and I don't want you. I don't need you. You don't want to go there. And we don't want to see anybody else going there either. And then he closed on this great high note, as almost all these psalms do. Be exalted, Be exalted, O Lord. How many of your prayers do you end with, be exalted, O Lord? Be exalted, O Lord. How thankful are we? Be exalted, O Lord, in my strength. No, in your own strength. Well, that's big time. His own strength, big time. My own strength is nothing. So be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. And then what do? We will sing and praise your power. Not our prayer power, not the prayer power of our military might or the. So as we end this Psalm 21, then, he is praising the Lord. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. And then we will sing and praise your power. Last week in Psalm 20, we cried out anytime we have a big problem ahead of us or a battle ahead of us, how to pray and to ask for the Lord's help. And he came through, of course, as we see in this 21st Psalm. And now he's to be thanked. We want to thank him. We want to exalt his name. We want to recognize his own strength. We want to recognize the joy of his salvation that he's given to us, and we want to sing and praise his power. You remember the book of Job? Job said, why, Lord, why, Lord, why, Lord? And man, if I could ever get face to face with the Lord, I would plead my case, and I'd find out, I'd get to the bottom of this right away, right? And he gets to the bottom of it, but the Lord never answers one question that he had. He just asked him 77 questions on showing God's creative power. And that God is so awesome when we see who he is and his power that Job just says, I'm vile. I don't have anything to say. So, and Job went through it, not because of anything he had done, because of the case with Satan. So we see here, we want to sing and praise his power. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray this morning. Thank you for bringing Doug and the others back safely. And Lord, just each one who is here and each one who's not here, Lord, we just pray that we would be filled with thanksgiving and praise and sing to you today. Now, as we have a few moments to pray here, lead us by your Spirit in times of prayer, in Jesus' name.
Greater power.
Father, we do thank you for loving us. Lord, help us to be a reflector of that love today, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.